great to see the people from 915 helping out the Praise Life Supper. And some of the people who organised the Praise Life Supper commented that it was very different this year than last year, because they truly felt a sense of being one community. So that was a great thing. And one thing that we are hoping to do, one thing we're thinking about doing, is posting that video on our Facebook and our website. We're thinking about it. But if we know that people have their pictures on there, if you have a major, if your face came up and you have a little problem about being posted on there, can you please let me know, because we're thinking about putting on our website as a way of promoting CCC and letting people know what we're doing here at our church. Okay, so if you can let me know. We're not definite about posting it, but we are thinking about it. Please do that as well. Alright? And it was a great time. So please come along next year. It's a great time of worship and praising God. That's awesome. Okay. Well, let's have a look at tonight. Not tonight, now. Can we get to it? Next one. Is it up there? Is it? No, it's not connected.
Now it is.
Yes, there we are. Well, when Donald Trump was elected President of the United States a few years ago, it was actually a major shock to everyone. No one thought he would win. But when he became President, in one sense, it was not disappointing. It was not disappointing because no one really expected much from him anyway. And they thought that maybe he would actually make the United States the laughing nation of the world. And to a large degree, that prophecy has been fulfilled in the minds of many people. He has been a man of great controversy, to say the least. But as I said, many people were not disappointed because they did expect much of him anyway. But it's different in many ways for other leaders, because a lot of times there are leaders who we do place a lot of hope and our dreams in. When Tony Abbott was the Prime Minister, people were very, very disappointed. And the new man on the block was now Turnbull. They thought, okay, he's the new guy who's going to turn things around. But it became very clear that after holding office for some time, he became a lame duck. Bill Shorten, well, they thought about him as being the great Labour leader who would bring Labour into leadership. But as the polls showed, as the election showed, it turned out to be otherwise. We've all had our leaders, haven't we? Leaders that we have placed our hopes in, our dreams, our aspirations. But as things roll on, they prove to be a great disappointment. And it needs to be said also, that's the same with Christianity. Many people have invested their lives, invested their hopes, made decisions about becoming Christians. But as things move on, it became very clear that it was a very different story altogether. Many people become Christians and even then they give up the Christian faith because nothing seemed to change. They begin to wonder, what did I really get myself into? Where were all these promises and these hopes and these dreams? And sadly, many people eventually give up. And I would be surprised that even now there are people here who are having second thoughts about their own faith. Or people here who know people who have second thoughts about their faith and have given up their faith. For this reason, I think it's great to have a look at the book of Hebrews as we start this series, right? And the big message of Hebrews is that Jesus is actually better. He's better than anything you can ever imagine. Jesus is better. And so, because Jesus is better, so don't give up. Hang on to Jesus. Continue to put your faith in Jesus. Don't give up. Well, before we go into the book of Hebrews, let's get a bit of bearing about Hebrews. What is Hebrews? Well, in first place, he said that Hebrews is a sermonic letter. What do you mean by sermonic letter? Well, it's like a letter. You know, you've got a letter from Paul, a letter from Peter, a letter from James, and all that. It's a sort of a letter. Because the way it ends, he ends off with some sort of farewells. It's good to have a chat with you, see you later, don't forget this, don't forget. some people have said that the book of Hebrews is very much like a sermon. So you want to get an idea what the ancient world was like when they really wrote sermons. The book of Hebrews is like a sermon. So they call it a sermon in the letter form. It is a sermonic letter. Well, who was it written to? It was written to Jewish Christians. And you can tell it's written to Jewish Christians when you read through this sermonic letter. Very, very heavy in the Old Testament. It talks about priests. It talks about the sacrifice. It talks about the temple. It talks about Exodus. These are only things that the Jewish people would have known about. Gentiles and Greeks would not know anything, that sort of thing, but only Jews would. But so it's Jewish Christians, because obviously the Jews wouldn't want to hear anything from what this person says. So it's written, everyone recognizes that this is written to Jewish Christians. Here's a sermonic letter written to Jewish Christians. But what was their problem? Why was this letter written to? Well, the reality is that here were Christians, Jewish Christians, who wanted to give up and go back to Judaism. They were disappointed. They were profoundly disappointed. They had put their faith, they had turned their back on Judaism, believing that Jesus is the long-awaited promised Messiah. They turned to him, hope with the belief that he would bring in the new kingdom. They turned to him with a promise, knowing the promise, that God, he would actually change things. But as things rolled on, what happened? Nothing happened. Where is this kingdom that you talked about? Where is this change that you promised? Where is this heaven that you keep talking about? Where is this Jesus? Where is it? And so, and more than that, they look back, well, you know, we have Old Testament prophets like Abraham and Moses. God was doing some amazing things through these guys. But where is this Jesus? And so, what was happening? They were starting to get very, very disappointed. Very disappointed. And they wanted to go back to something they knew well about. Something they found security, they wanted to go back. But what is the message then of Hebrews? Don't give up. That's the message of Hebrews. Don't give up. And why? Because Jesus is there. That's the simple message of Hebrews. Don't give up because Jesus is there. Now, when you think about it, it immediately seems relevant for us today, doesn't it? Because I said, there are many people who become Christians. They became Christians with hopes of a new life, hopes of a transformed life, questions being answered. But as things move on, what happens? Many become disillusioned. Life is still the same. They continue to struggle. Then life seems to be harder for some people. And like I said, I would be surprised if some of us are going through the same thing right now. I wouldn't be surprised that we know family members who themselves are struggling in the faith, who themselves are starting to turn around. Now 90 degrees, 110, 180. You look at the numbers here, there are many people who used to be here. Some of the church is fair enough. But we know of many people who are no longer here and no longer know churches because why? They are disappointed. Disappointed with the faith. Disappointed with the gospel. Disappointed with Jesus. We can think of one the most noted person of recent times was a man named Joshua Harris. Joshua Harris was a young man in his early 20s, wrote a book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. As a young Christian man, this became a real hit single herself. Thank you. This became a real hit single. Star many years ago. And it was written to challenge his generation to rethink about sexual purity, about dating, to be countercultural, not to follow the ways of the world. Well, more recently, what has happened? He has actually given up. He not only announced his divorce, but even more still, he's turned his back on the faith. It was a shock to the whole world. He had basically not only just kissed David goodbye, he kissed the faith goodbye because he was disappointed. The book of Hebrews tells us that anything the world could offer, anything the world could offer, is not as good as what Jesus could offer. Because Jesus is better. And so the message of Hebrews is, don't go back, because Jesus is better. Well, what does God have to say? Let's have a look at how he answers that question. They want to go back, because they heard the prophet God speak through the prophets and through Abraham, Moses. But what does God, what does this author say? In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophet. And many times in various ways, but in these last days, he spoke to us by his son. And I want you to notice, some key words in this opening statement of Hebrews. Notice the words spoke. Very small word, but key word. Why is it such an important word? Because what the author is saying here is speaking is at the heart of the Christian faith. Why is speaking so important? Well, you think about it. It's the way we get to know people, isn't it? It's the way we get to know people. You see, communication is everything in our relationships. Communication is everything in our church. One of the biggest problems in all relationships, and even in our church, is bad communication or lack of communication. Relationships will fall apart because they said something. Or said it badly. Relationships fall apart. We might have couples who are married, start off well, but over years, but the relationship is apart like that. The wife and husband says, I don't know you anymore. What do you mean you don't know me? Because you don't talk to me anymore. You see, we can study plants. We use microscopes, like specimens. Mm. But how do you actually get to understand people? You understand people by listening to them, by talking. Try this out. Here's a man standing by himself. Let me ask you this question. What is his name? What is my home name? What do I do? How do we work out who he is? How do we work out what he does? We can have a symposium. We can have a vote. We can actually sort of assign people and sort of provide a scholarship for people to do a PhD and try and work out what his name is. So what I want to do here, because we don't have the technology, but I want you to turn around to the person, and we're going to sort of do a sort of a group sort of think tank here, and to try and work out who this guy is, what is his name, and what does he do? Why don't you talk to the person? What is his name, and what does he do? You have 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Talk to the person next to you. What is his name, and what does he do? 30 seconds, all right? Quickly. What is his name?
We do. I don't know what we do. Us. I know you.
Yeah, I know you.
I know what you do, but I don't know what you do. What do you do?
What is his name?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I'm a accountant.
Oh,
retired. I was in IT.
Oh, well, what your career?
And come up with his name. All right, Bruce, what's his name? Sorry? Bob, what's he do? Oh, my dear. What's his surname? Lowe. Joe Lowe. What's he do?
Joe.
What, did you have a chat? Okay, how was up in the new call? Anyone? Roz?
Muhammad Lee.
Muhammad Lee! Oh, that's a nice one.
Oh, he's looking for my
room. Oh. And what did he do? So?
He works.
Oh! you see that what's happened, things have changed now. The word but in verse 2 is very critical for us to understand. Because what it means here is that now things are different. But the word but is also important for another reason. It's actually saying here that not only things have changed, he says, but in these last days, he tells us that the method by which God is communicating to us now has reached its ultimate climax. When he used the word in these last days, it's a technical phrase in the Bible that says that it's the last day referring to the time that Jesus was born and died to the time he's resurrected. This is the last word that God has to say to his people. This is the ultimate word that God has to say to his people. Because you think about it, right? In the history of the world, there have been different methods of communication. Communication has evolved over the time from smoke signals to the iPhone. And even with the iPhone, that still has evolved over time. But what does this passage say here? In these last days, God is saying, this is the last word. This is the final word. This is the ultimate word. This, you could say, is God speaking loudly and clearly in an unmistakable way. Let me put it this way. The way God spoke in the past was like us looking and watching using the light of a candlestick. It's dark. You can see something, but still dark. But now, in these last days, God is yelling out clearly and loudly in an unmistakable way. And when he does that, everything is clear. Everything is clear. So God is saying in a very loud and clear way, I am speaking. There is no mistaking that I am speaking. But it still begs the question, where is God speaking in these last days? He spoke into the prophets in different ways in the past. But now in his new way, the better way, the final way, how is God speaking to us today? Look at what it says. In these last days, he's spoken to us how? By his Son. In other words, if you want to hear the voice of God today, loudly and clearly in an unmistakable way, where do you go? You don't go outside and look at the sky and think, how can I hear you? You don't open the fridge. You know, they don't pick up a shoe, you're crazy to do that. But these things also, it's not something you go to reason with your brain, you go to all the other religions or whatever. You go to the Son. Because it is in the Son of God, in Jesus, that God is speaking loudly and clearly and is not a word. That's why Christianity, without Jesus, is no Christianity. That's why Christianity does not seek to understand who Jesus is not a Christianity that the Bible speaks about. That is why that if Christ is not the center of what we are all about, then we are going to miss the voice of God. That is why we are growing in Christ. You are not really growing in your knowledge of God, because the way God speaks to us today, in a loud and clear, unmistakable way to the world, is through his Son. What's the big deal about Jesus? And what the Son now goes on in verses 3 and 4 is to map out the enormous and grand CV of Jesus, what makes him so great a communication talent. Listen to what it says here. And it's known. Who he appointed heir of all things. Here's the first thing astonishing about Jesus. He is an heir of all things. That is to say, he owns the owning all things. He owns all the planets. He owns all the stars. He owns the cosmos. He owns you. He owns everything you have, everything in the entire universe, both created and unseen, belongs to him. It's astonishing CV. But not only that, he is the creator of all things. It is an insult to Jesus to say, oh, he's just a teacher. He's just a good man. He's just a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. Jesus is the creator of all things. Who made the clouds? Jesus. Who made the sun? Jesus. Who made this earth? Jesus. Who made you? Jesus. Jesus is the creator of all things. But he doesn't stop there. Because what does it say? Sustain all things by his power and word. If he were to say, not only does he create all things, he holds things together by what? His word. Do you know how powerful words are? We think the life of a person's in their muscles, but it's not in his mouth. Do you realize the most devastating thing that anyone can do to anyone else is in the words they say? That's why we need counsel. Because with both counselors and people, lives have been destroyed by other people's words. It's by words that churches are divided. It's by words that relationships are killed. It's by words that people are restored to health again. Words are everything. They bring life more than destroy it. You can see the power of word by the power of person. Not by his muscle, by saying, hey, you don't do that, and everyone does it. The power of his word. But here's the thing. How powerful is Jesus? Incredibly powerful, because he holds the universe by his word. The world runs, not because of gravitational forces, electromagnetic forces, work. It runs because of his word. The universe isn't held together in a precise patterns. Why? Because of these words. But he goes further. But who is this Jesus? Then he pointed all things. He's the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his glory. In Jesus, we see all we need to see about God. In Jesus we see the glory of God. In Jesus he is the exact representation of his being. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. If you want to see God in all his majesty, look at Jesus. That's why you cannot get to know God through any other means except through Jesus, because in his last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. He's not only the creator, the revealer of God. He's all, and so therefore to see God apart from that is like, can I? But he's also, what else? He's the Savior. He is the one who gives purification for sins. And notice also, he is the one who sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And what's that idea there? It means that he has completed his work and now in position to deliver his work. You know, the priests in the Old Testament never sat down because they had to keep doing their work day in and day out. Their work was never complete. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice. He sat down in the right hand. It means that he has completed the work and he is able to deliver the work. One of the tragedies, I think, today is that you have many religions constantly going to the rivers to wash themselves of their sins. And they do it again and again and again because it never is effective. That's why they've got to do it again. You've got people who constantly have to do penance and so to speak. You have people who constantly praying through the wall to reach God. And the Bible tells us, why do you want to go to the wall? Because we have the perfect person, the perfect Jesus is bigger than all humanity. Infinitely bigger. You know, a lot of people today say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in supernatural, I don't believe in angels. Well, that's fine, I can understand that. Most people don't believe in God, they believe in angels, supernatural. You know what they believe in? They believe in themselves. They believe in science. They believe in our scientists. They believe in Steve Hawkins, who said, then we shall be able to take part in such a question of why things that we in the universe exist. If we find an answer to that, it will be the ultimate trial of human reason. For then we will know the mind of God. But what the talkers say, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not listening to God, who is speaking the loudest and clearest way possible, because the way to understand the mind of God is not by examining the universe, it's by listening to Jesus. You don't just try to understand the universe, you don't understand the mind of God through the universe, you're just looking in the dark. But when you understand God from Jesus, you're listening to his voice loud and clear. If you want to find answers, can you go to scientists to find out how gravitation works? But that's about it. You will never understand the big issues of life. You will never understand the mind of God. You will never know God. Where do we learn about Jesus? Well, this is what Jesus himself said. Begin with most of all the prophets, explain to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. What we learn about Jesus? Loudly to people. Where else are the scriptures? And this is what Jesus said also. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about it. The sad thing about it is that we read the scriptures, but we still keep missing the message that's all about Jesus. And because we keep missing the message about Jesus, then we're not hearing the voice of God. Because in Jesus is God's final communication, God's loudest communication, God's biggest message. So what is this guy saying to you? Don't give up. Don't give up. Why do you want to go back to Abraham? Yeah, God spoke to him, but it's like listening to a camel, like watching someone seek into a camel. Why would you have Moses being in grace if God is still trying to understand God with a candlelight? No, don't do that. Hold on to Jesus. Because to listen to Jesus is to listen to the voice loud and clearly. It is to come into the very bright noonday sun and to see God in all his glory. And when you see that, you begin to understand life in all its complexity, because Jesus is so Jesus, son. Now, friends, the word of encouragement to Jesus is don't go back. Don't give up. We're tempted to go and listen to our scientists, our educators, our philosophers, our politicians, finding for something. But you'll never really know what you really want. Don't give up. Hold on to Jesus. He's better. How will we get to know him? Well, to read the scriptures. For in the scriptures, we have all we need to know about Jesus. Father in heaven, we give you thanks that in these last days you've spoken to us in the clearest way possible through your Son. And through him, we hear your voice loudly and clearly. In him, we see your glory majestically displayed. May we continue to know Jesus more and more. Father, we do pray for many friends who used to be a pastor's man, but we've given up. We ask the Lord to bring them back. Bring them back to Jesus. We pray for many people who